Principle 3. Fast on a regular basis.
Matthew 6:16 NIV. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do.
All over the Bible, there are mentions of fasting. In fact, fasting is mentioned in Scripture in some form over 70 times. Notice how in Matthew 6:16 that Jesus says, "When you fast," emphasis mine. Apparently, God never intended for fasting to be optional in our lives. It's something He actually expects us to do, and God never tells you to do something you can't do. I believe that there are some walls in life that we won't break through without fasting. Fasting is a believer's secret weapon. Well, you have to understand that this weight loss battle isn't a natural fight. It's a spiritual one. Spiritual battles require spiritual weapons, and fasting is one of the most powerful tools in your arsenal, so don't count it out.
Ephesians 6:12 NIV. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
A good analogy about the power of fasting is scuba diving. When you're just looking at the surface of the water from the outside, you can't really see what's going on underneath the surface. It's only after you dive underneath that everything changes. You can see the coral and all the different colors and kinds of fish. It's like everything comes alive. Fasting does that for your spirit. The body is hungry, but the spirit is sharp, and everything comes into focus. It makes it easier to hear from God. Fasting definitely needs to be a part of our Christian practice.
Matthew 6:16 through 18 NIV. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
The purpose of fasting is not so that you appear spiritual. It's so that you are spiritual. It's something you don't have to tell everyone about except for your spiritual partner. You don't need to make a big deal out of it and have a poor me attitude. Sometimes you might just have to tell people, "I'm not eating right now." In the beginning, fasting is not a pleasant experience, simply due to the fact that you're denying yourself. However, the results are so incredible that once you get past some of the discomforts, you'll see that breakthroughs can happen. Every major breakthrough I've gotten in my life has been a result of fasting. I don't ever get into a serious project or make any major decisions without prayer and fasting first. It's important to know that fasting doesn't move God. It moves you closer to God. It makes things clearer. When you eliminate food, your spirit becomes uncluttered and more tuned in like an antenna. It's like turning the dial and getting a real clear frequency. When we fast, we're literally denying our bodies of food for a spiritual purpose. It's not dieting. You also have to take that time where you would normally be eating and commit to a spiritual activity. Pray, meditate the word of God, or worship. While you're fasting, your body is going to throw a fit and tell you that it's hungry. But this is a time when you're denying your physical needs so that your spiritual needs can be met. Fasting also makes a lot of extra time available that you used to spend preoccupied with food. While you're fasting, you're not thinking about food, going to the store to get food, or preparing for food. Maximize that spare time by spending it with the Lord and see how big of a difference it makes. Take advantage of this time to lean on Him for the strength you need to make it through the fast. Around the same time most days, my assistant Allie and I will start to feel hungry, like we want to break our fast early and eat. So we stop what we're doing and pray together, asking God for the power we need to push through. Something that's really important in someone's spiritual growth is the habit of solitude with God. As an early riser, I find my best time to be alone with God is in the morning. I can go to the gym and have 30 to 45 minutes alone with God. I ask Him for strength to help me not overeat and meet my goals for the day. Your time of the day may be different, but it's important to have that. There are so many different things you can do during that alone time with God. You can read a Christian book or listen to Christian music, but the absolute best thing you can do is have total solitude with God and His word. You want to listen to what He's saying. The back of this book has every Bible verse that we mention in these pages. You can just take that and read them over and over.
Colossians 3:16a NLT. Let the message about Christ and all its riches fill your lives.
This scripture is one you need to memorize. This is the key to what should be happening while you're fasting. You're not just saying no to food. You're saying yes to God. You're choosing Him and His word to fulfill you instead of the food and snacks. Here's a prayer that you can pray while you're fasting. God, you say in your word in Colossians 3:16 that I should be filled with your words, and that is what I'm asking right now. Fill me up with your words from my head to my toes. You can quote God's word for any situation in life. Again, use the resource in the back of this book for ammunition. Whatever verse is appropriate for you in the situation you're dealing with is what you need to feast on and carry with you. It may seem a little tacky, but you can write verses on your hands with a marker to keep them in front of you. It's actually a great testimony because people will ask what it is. I'm going to write Colossians 3:16 on my hand right now. Today, I'm going to a Mexican restaurant for lunch, and I know that one of my weaknesses is the chips. I'm going to ask God to give me the strength to not overeat and choose instead to be filled with His word. Lastly, there's one thing you should know about making the decision to fast. Some people are going to give you kickback. They'll tell you all about how you're ruining your metabolism by not eating, or how it's bad that you're missing breakfast because it's the most important meal of the day. You'll definitely encounter opposition. But remember what I said about dipping beneath the surface. God can speak to you in a still, small voice, and you see things clearer when you're not eating. I believe that God speaks to you more clearly when you're fasting. That's not to say He doesn't speak to you when you're not, but it's like gaining clarity. It increases the intensity and focus of your prayers. There is power in fasting. Reasons to fast, to prepare for ministry.
Matthew 4:1-2, NIV. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry.
When Jesus fasted for 40 days, he was getting prepared for his work. Fasting is something you can do to prepare for God's next mission for you, to seek wisdom.
Acts 14:23, NIV. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust.
Like Paul and Barnabas, you can use prayer and fasting to seek wisdom for important decisions. To grieve.
Nehemiah 1:3-4, NIV. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire."
Fasting is even a way to help deal with your grief. To seek deliverance.
Ezra 8:21-23, NIV. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask Him for a safe journey for us and our children with all of our possessions. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and He answered our prayer.
Ezra declared a corporate fast for all of the people as they believed God for protection from their enemies on their 900-mile trek to repent.
Jonah 3:4-5:10, NIV. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction He had threatened.
To worship God.
Luke 2:37, NIV. And then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying.
She fasted as an expression of her love for God. To gain victory.
Judges 20:26-30 and 35, NIV. Then all the Israelites, the whole army, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In those days the Ark of the Covenant of God was there, with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, ministering before it. They asked, "Shall we go up again to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israelites, or not?" The Lord responded, "Go, for tomorrow I'll give them into your hands." Then Israel set an ambush around Gibeah. They went up against the Benjamites on the third day and took up positions against Gibeah as they had done before. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and on that day the Israelites struck down 25,100 Benjamites, all armed with swords.
This is what you're doing. You're gaining victory over eating. You're crying out to God for victory in this area, and you're going to win. What fasting does. People fast for many different things, but when it's mentioned in the Bible, it's all about food. Some of the most important reasons we should fast are for healing, protection, and wisdom.
Isaiah 58:4 NIV. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high.
In this passage of scripture, God is rebuking the people for fasting incorrectly. However, if we pay attention, we see the important purpose for fasting, to have our voices heard by God. By fasting, we come into God's presence in a really powerful way. Much of my life is a go, go, go and a do, do, do. Fasting is the opposite, though. I'm really focused on the Lord during that time, and it bonds me a little closer to Him. I feel like I'm really in His face and He's listening.
Isaiah 58:5a NIV. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves?
Again, we see another detail about fasting. It's an activity that humbles you. It sharpens your mind and you can see clearly in a way you couldn't before. Remember the scuba diving analogy? You can't see much above the surface, but once you dive underneath, a whole world of detail is open to you. I tell people all the time that fasting is like running. It's something you work at and progress with over time. If you're not a runner, running a block will leave you winded. However, if every day you increase your distance, block by block and mile by mile, you will get stronger. Once you're up to 2 miles, running a block is easy. Give yourself that time with fasting and let your body gear up to it. A typical biblical fast is probably over a 24-hour period. In that time, you reach out to God and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I've tried every diet and every method to break free of this eating struggle. I realize I have put food over you. I'm putting my inability and failure at your feet. I need you to get involved and help me because this is a massive area of struggle for me. That's humbling yourself before God. We try to live the Christian life in our own power when we don't humble ourselves. Fasting breaks the chains of addictions and problems that we can't seem to break on our own. In 2 Corinthians 12:1-10, Paul talks about a physical issue he suffered and the conversation he had with God about it.
2 Corinthians 12:8-9a NIV. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Like many of us, Paul pleaded for God to take the problem away. We all have something in our lives, a struggle or health issue that we can't beat without God's help. He is the one who can save us.
3 John 2 NIV. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well.
There are times when we're sick, but God is still the great physician and healer today.
Exodus 15:26 NIV. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
God is your healer. 1 Samuel 1 tells the story of a woman named Hannah who fasted in grief because she was unable to bear children. She prayed and asked for God to remedy the problem and remove the stigma of not being able to get pregnant.
1 Samuel 1:19-20 NIV. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him.
God listened to her prayers through fasting and gave her what she asked for. The intermittent fasting plan. The Chantal Ray way is based on the practice of intermittent fasting, IF. There are many diets that use IF with varying rules of what you can and can't eat. The Chantal Ray way will be different from others you may have heard about. To understand what intermittent fasting is and how we're going to do it, you should know about all the different kinds of fasting. The 5 kinds of fast. Normal fast. On a normal fast, you are going without food for a defined period of time. You can still have liquids, but without sugar, water, unsweetened tea, coffee, black, etc. Juice fast. A juice fast is liquids only but without sugar or calorie restrictions. You're drinking mostly green juice, but not having any solid foods whatsoever. Absolute fast. When you're on an absolute fast, you are having no food or water at all. I don't think anyone should do this kind of fast for more than 3 days outside of an instruction from God where he promises to supernaturally sustain you. Partial fast. Partial fasts specifically omit certain foods. A good example of this is a Daniel fast, where you can eat fruits and vegetables, among other things, but meats are prohibited. Rational fast. On a rational fast, you omit certain families of foods of nutrients for designated periods of time. For example, you might only eat protein every fourth day. Theoretically, you could do any of these fasts intermittently, but the Chantal Ray way is strictly a normal fast. We'll be alternating between eating windows and fasts. While you're fasting, all food is off limits. That includes drinks with sugar and artificial sweeteners. The best way to put it is to say that while you are fasting, you should not be consuming any calories at all. True fasting. Fasting is the Greek word nestia, which means not to eat. I take that literally, so I'm not a fan of people abusing partial fasts like the Daniel fast. I see people refraining from meat, but overeating on everything else. If you're still eating burritos with cheese and refried beans and salads with more dressing than salad, I don't call that fasting. If you're scarfing down huge portions of bean burgers and bread, I think you're missing the point. The point of fasting is to not eat. When you fast, you make a sacrifice to God first by giving up food for a period of time. When Daniel chose not to eat meat and wine for 10 days, it was because the food was being offered to idols and eating it would have been a sin. So he ate vegetables and water.
Daniel 1:12 NIV. Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink.
If someone restricts themselves to just vegetables for 10 days, I do see that as a sacrifice. But there's a difference between doing that and finding other ways to overeat and indulge your flesh with everything that falls into the not meat category. A lot of Christians do a version of the Daniel fast that they say is based on the second time Daniel fasted in Daniel 10:2-3.
Daniel 10:2-3 NIV. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over.
So people avoid meat and wine, but overindulge in other things like bread? I'm sorry, but bread is a choice food. I've seen people eat processed bread with more chemicals in it than the meat they're avoiding. The purpose of fasting is to deny your flesh's desires. In order to really hear God, your flesh has to be silenced. By fasting, you tell your flesh who is boss. You tell your body that you're taking charge with the help of Christ. I believe that true power only comes when you fast 100%. Take all the time you spend preparing, eating, and thinking about food and focus it on God. That's when you get results.
Galatians 5:17 NIV. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want.
Talking about your fast.
Matthew 6:17-18 NIV. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Some people take this passage to mean that you can't tell anyone that you're fasting. I don't believe that to be true. You can tell people, but you should never show off. Don't behave like you're so weak from fasting and you're such a saint for doing it. The power of fasting. There's a story I love about two men, one young and one older, who work for 8 hours cutting down trees. The young guy chops down tree after tree and never stops for the entire day. The older man takes a break every hour for 15 minutes. The young man is proud and figures he will definitely beat the old man. However, at the end of the day, the young man is surprised to see that the older man has chopped down more trees than him. He asks the old man, "How is this possible when he took so many breaks?" The old man replies, "I did take breaks, but when I did, I took time to sharpen my axe." I believe fasting is a spiritual discipline that sharpens your axe. You strengthen or sharpen your ability to take control of your body when you fast.
Matthew 9:15 NIV. Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast."
Jesus made it clear that fasting would be a priority for us in his absence. We can't see Jesus and speak with him face to face, but when we fast, it's like the next best thing. Fasting brings you as close as you can get to him. It's a special bond between you and God. Why intermittent fasting? Intermittent fasting is exactly what it sounds like. It's alternating between eating and fasting for set periods of time. These periods of time are called eating windows and fasting windows. The secret sauce to the Chantal Ray way has nothing to do with restricting what foods you can eat. In fact, you can eat what you want. The secret sauce is reducing the number of hours a day you spend eating. You have to understand that the human body wasn't meant to be scarfing down food nonstop throughout the day. In fact, you're going to learn about people who eat just once a day and are perfectly healthy and thin. Our biggest problem is overfeeding ourselves, and intermittent fasting solves that problem. There are new studies every day that continue to prove the benefits of intermittent fasting. The main reason that it's so effective for losing weight has everything to do with insulin. We're not going to get too scientific here, and I encourage you to do your own research to verify what I'm saying. But I want you to know that if you're someone who deals with diabetic issues, this plan can still be for you. I'm someone who at my highest weight was pre-diabetic, and I still have ongoing blood sugar issues. However, intermittent fasting has greatly impacted my blood sugar to the positive. If you have the same health issues I do, then you'll fit right in. Of course, consult your physician before starting a new diet plan. I check my blood sugar on a regular basis, and I believe it's an important practice to begin. I've learned a lot about insulin and its role in regulating your body glucose. When you eat, your blood sugar is available to either be burned as energy or stored as fat. In order to lose weight, you have to lower your insulin levels so that your body can access your stored fat effectively. The very act of eating, regardless of what you're eating, causes insulin to be released from your body. Fasting, on the other hand, lowers insulin, which contributes to weight loss. Anytime insulin increases, it can inhibit fat breakdown, which is what you need for fat loss. Like I said before, anytime you eat, your insulin increases. How much it increases depends on several factors, like the food and the person eating it. But now you should be able to see how fasting has a positive impact on fat loss. A scientific study actually revealed that the greatest drop in insulin and the greatest increase in fat breakdown take place between 18 and 24 hours of fasting. Dr. Ted Naiman of BurnFatNotSugar.com has a great graph that illustrates this. I've included it below with his permission. These results demonstrate that the mobilization of adipose tissue triglycerides increases markedly between 18 and 24 hours of fasting. Everything that we're talking about with intermittent fasting rides on insulin. You need your insulin to be low enough to promote fat breakdown so you can be in a fat-burning mode and not a sugar-burning mode. The fasting schedule. Now that you have a better understanding of intermittent fasting and its benefits, it's time to learn how to put it to work. The tables below detail the length of your eating windows and how many days a week you should be using that window to get you started. Notice that you can choose any day of the week that you like. Create your own schedule that works for you. I recommend starting with an 8-hour window. If you aren't losing weight as aggressively as you would like, move on to phase two. All of the days in phase two have 6-hour eating windows. If you're eating for 6 hours, then you're fasting for 18. 18 hours of fasting gets you right into that fat-burning zone you want to be in. In my experience, a 6-hour or less eating window gets the best results. If you get comfortable with the 6-hour window, you can step it up to phase three and maximize your fat burning. So for phase three, maybe you just say, okay, 4 days out of the week, I'm going to eat for 6 hours. 2 days out of the week, I'm only eating 2 hours. And 1 day out of the week, I eat 8 hours. I want to make a note about the 4-hour eating window, also called the big power fast. A 4-hour window only gives you time to eat one meal for the day. This is essentially a 24-hour fast. Once you start your next window for the following day, it will have been almost 24 hours since your last meal. I recommend doing the big power fast on days when you know you're going to be very busy and not tempted to give in and break your fast. getting too hungry with the big power fast. Years ago, my church participated in an 8-day corporate fast. It was the longest I had ever fasted, and I kept up my regular exercise and work schedule. Because I didn't build up to it, I was ravenous by the end of the fast. Once it was over, I overate big time for the next 5 days and gained weight. You may never find yourself fasting that long, but it's possible to let yourself get too hungry. This is the reason you should build up to the big power fast. Like I've said before, fasting is like running. You don't go outside and run 10 miles when you've never run before, and you can't expect to do a 24-hour fast without some fasting experience. Take a measured approach to your fasting so you don't feel like you're starving and want to binge. After you do a big power fast, you will feel hungrier for the next couple of days. You're going to eat a little bit more because of that. However, if you get to the point that you're just shoveling it in, then it's better to stick to a 6-hour window for a little bit longer. Day by day, start making that window smaller. 5 hours one day, 4 hours the next, continuing until you reach your goal. If you fast for 24 hours and then eat 3,000 calories in one sitting, you're defeating the purpose of the fast. You're not to eat past a 4 on the hunger scale, no matter what. The fed state versus the fasted state. At any given time, your body is in one of two states, the fed state or the fasted state. Your body behaves very differently in both states. In the fed state, your body is actively digesting food and absorbing nutrients. How long it lasts depends on how long it takes for your body to digest food. One of the factors that impact your digestion time is the kind of food you eat. Some foods digest faster than others, and there's even a topic called food combining that explains how different foods digest better or worse when they're eaten together. I want to discuss food combining for just a minute because I did a popular food combining diet years ago. It made me crazy. The diet centered around eliminating, separating, or combining all kinds of different foods. I learned the hard way that it made me focus too much on what I was eating instead of how much I was eating. However, it wasn't all bad because I did learn a few things about my digestion. I learned that if I eat smaller portions, my body can digest most combinations of food. If I'm ravenously hungry and need to eat a little more, protein and vegetables digest together well for me. The other state, the fasted state, technically begins when your body has finished digesting food. However, that's hard to track, so for the purposes of this book, we're doing a tweaked version of the fasted state. When I mention being in a fasted state, I'm simply referring to the period of time after you closed your eating window. It's not technically accurate, but it's easier to track and it will work for the plan we're doing. Getting to a true fasted state is something everyone should experience. The Big Power Fast allows you to do that with its one meal a day window. I believe that if you're constantly feeding your body and making it digest food pretty much 24/7, you're hogging up all of its time, so to speak. Your body never has a chance to renew itself. I believe fasting gives your body that opportunity, and there's ongoing research to suggest intermittent fasting could help you live longer. What can I eat while I'm fasting? While you're fasting, you're not to have any food whatsoever. The only things you can drink are liquids that don't have any calories. So you can have black coffee, tea, water, and sparkling unflavored water. Don't have any caloric drinks like diet soda or tea with stevia. You also can't pop mints, chew sugared gum, take cream in your coffee, or have a hard candy. There is no sugar whatsoever allowed on your fast. Whenever you have sugar, truthfully, whenever you eat anything at all, your insulin spikes. Spiking your insulin during your fast will lock away your fat stores, and that's the opposite of what you want to happen. Accessing and burning that stored fat is a primary goal of fasting. Besides, if you're constantly eating little things during your fast, you're going to counteract your ability to hear your body tell you when it's actually hungry. It may sound obvious, but when you're fasting, you're not eating. No exceptions. Some diet books talk about free foods, foods that have zero calories, as exceptions to the rule. Free foods can include diet Jell-O, pickles, carrots, plain celery, and more. Intermittent fasting, however, doesn't allow free foods either. Now, some people feel they can't survive without having something while they're fasting. They feel they have to have at least a diet soda or tea with stevia or something. If this is a real struggle for you, then I'd much rather you take baby steps and transition into full fasting. If you're one of those people, then you can start with crutch foods. We'll discuss this topic in detail in Principle 7 on page 116. Crutch foods technically break your fast, but you can start with them if going cold turkey is too hard. I'd rather you start there than not start at all. Don't use this as an excuse to cheat on fasting. Know what you can handle, but don't be afraid to challenge yourself. It's a rewarding experience to be able to say no to food for a good chunk of your day. Don't rob yourself of that victory. You can do this. Do not overeat.
Proverbs 25:16 NIV. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit.
Proverbs 23:21 Message. Drunks and gluttons will end up on Skid Row in a stupor and dressed in rags.
You have to stay on track with this one important aspect of intermittent fasting. It's all about not overeating. You can spend most of the day fasting, but if you gorge yourself on a ton of food when it's time to eat, you won't lose any weight. That's because you've eaten way more calories than you needed to. I want to make this very clear. Do not overeat at any time. Helpful tips for fasting. Build up to fasting. Intermittent fasting is the only diet that gets easier as you go. So one thing you can do wrong in the beginning is fast for too long and binge. We know that in order to lose fat, you have to have a caloric deficit. So if you binge, you're going to ruin the whole point of fasting. If you fast too long in the beginning of this journey, it's going to make you very vulnerable to losing control and binge eating. It's better to start out slow. An 8-hour window is very, very easy to start with. While you should ultimately want to follow the schedule I laid out for you, it's okay to work your way there. Stay busy. It really doesn't matter if you're playing video games, working, or reading a book. During your fasting time, especially when you start getting really hungry, you want to make sure you stay really, really busy. Sundays are a hard day for me because I'm more relaxed and that gives me room to eat. What I like to do is go to the mall and window shop or get my hair or nails done to stay busy. Hunger comes in waves. When you're fasting, there's going to be a point when you get ravenously hungry. But after a little while, it passes. No one stays starving for hours. Hunger comes in waves. If you can keep busy and pass the first couple of waves, you'll have more fat loss. People who are really thin are able to ride that wave. It's just like a literal wave in the ocean that peaks up and then goes back down. Thin people understand that they can ride that out because they know that hunger will eventually go down. Break your fast with whole, clean foods. You need to listen to what your body is wanting, but with whole foods. You can't feed your body a bunch of processed junk foods and then allow it to tell you what it wants. The chemicals in the food throw your body off, making you want more and more junk food. When I'm breaking my fast, I try not to break it with anything but really clean and nutrient-dense foods. I definitely don't break my fast with chemicals. You also want to make sure that whatever your first meal is, it's not filled with sugar. Otherwise, you'll end up overeating. Use potassium. I feel the best when I have plenty of potassium, and without enough of it, I feel I have no energy. My favorite sources of potassium are avocados, coconut water, bananas, and white potatoes. If you like avocados like I do, watch your intake. They're high in calories, and you can consume a whole lot without even realizing it. The same goes for the sugar in coconut water. Walk away. Learn how to walk away from the food when you're done with it. It's okay to put away leftovers. When you know you can only eat once or twice a day, you have a tendency to want to overeat. Make sure that you're eating foods that you actually like so you're not feeling deprived. Get extra sleep. Sleep is very important. Your insulin decreases while you're sleeping, and cortisol, which helps with blood sugar regulation, increases. Get active. I've taken to nightly walks with a friend. It's helping me lose weight and give me something to do besides eat. Drink water. I drink a tall glass of water when I get really hungry. If that doesn't work, I'll have coffee with coconut oil or unsweetened tea. Get productive early. I get annoyed if I eat before 12 p.m. because I know I'm most productive in the morning when I haven't eaten yet. After eating, my productivity drops. Try to prolong your fasting window so you can be more productive. See if you can push yourself one more hour even when you think you can't. Find a friend. Find a friend you can do intermittent fasting with so you can hold each other accountable. Eat more protein. Getting more protein in your diet leads to greater appetite control. Find a way to get it in while still eating what you want. Read the Bible. Draw strength from scriptures. The Bible tells us to fast, so it's something we know we can do. Remember, it doesn't happen overnight. One thing you have to remember when you start this plan is you're not going to lose weight as fast as you want to. I personally didn't lose any weight for the first 2 weeks. This plan has to be looked at over the course of the month. On my third week, I lost 6 pounds. My fourth week, 4 pounds. Intermittent fasting is not a get skinny quick scheme. It's not overnight, but that's okay because you want this to be lasting. You didn't gain the weight overnight and you can't lose it overnight. We are making a lifestyle change that's forever. In the book of Exodus, you can read about the Israelites' trial in the desert. There are going to be times when you feel like you're in the desert and aren't losing weight. The thing with this diet is you'll lose fat, but not muscle. So there will be some weeks when you feel like you aren't losing weight, but instead of feeling miserable like you're in the desert and depriving yourself, take this as an opportunity to ask God, what are you going to show me today? What are you going to teach me? Another tip is to save your coffee for later in your fast, not first thing in the morning. If you choose to set your fast for the morning hours, you'll notice that you're usually not hungry when you first wake up. That's one of the reasons I prefer morning fasts. There's a myth out there that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but it's simply not true. You can choose to fast whenever you like and get results. You're already in a fasted state when you first wake up in the morning, so save your coffee for when your hunger starts to creep up so the caffeine can suppress your appetite. Fasting, it works. There are benefits to intermittent fasting that I haven't found with any diet I've tried. First, I believe intermittent fasting is a solution for the willpower factor. I think we all have a limit to our willpower, so we can get excited about a diet for a little while, but when we want a brownie and the diet says we can't, most times we end up failing. We move on to the next diet since the last one was too hard, and when that one fails, we move on to another one. We blame the diets, but it's really our inability to stick with them that's the problem, but that's okay. Trying to live by a diet is unrealistic and unsustainable. Diets that restrict foods get harder the longer you do them, while intermittent fasting is the only plan that I believe gets easier with time. It doesn't put pressure on your willpower because you're still allowed to eat what you want. You're simply changing the time frame that you eat in. The second major benefit is that I'm finally eating less. I'm at the point where I'm eating only 2 meals just about every day, and they're small meals at that. See, my struggles with eating are just like my troubles with skiing. I do great while I'm in motion, but I'm atrocious at stopping. They had to stamp a big red X on my ticket and threaten to kick me off the slope if I didn't stop running into people. Well, stopping once I start eating is just as real a challenge for me. Intermittent fasting has helped me control and stop my eating when I need to. Now I'm even snacking less. I literally had a snacking addiction to the point where my family made up a song to tease me. It's called "All I Do Is Snack, 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 No Matter What," to the tune of "All I Do Is Win" by DJ Khaled. Yes, it was that bad. Thankfully, my snacking addiction is broken now, and you won't find me snacking all day anymore. Finally, when it comes to my health, my hormones feel regulated, my immune system is stronger, and I have more mental clarity. There are so many different cleanses out there, but I believe fasting is God's way of doing it. It's like a self-cleansing process. Don't waste your money on cleanses when you can just fast. Your body gets a chance to repair itself while you fast. Fasting works. Alternative intermittent fasting methods. If you've never heard of intermittent fasting before now, you're probably going to Google it to learn more. When you do, you'll find out that there are a lot of different versions and suggestions about how to do it. Here are a few that I've seen, but don't recommend that you follow. 5-2 diet. This diet involves eating a normal, healthy diet 5 days of the week and then eating only 500 calories for 2 days of the week. Those would be your fast days. My problem with this diet is that I believe it requires too much calorie counting and could ultimately leave room for you to be tempted to binge. Heavy eating. There's a myth that you should eat a ton of food at your meals in your eating window to avoid snacking in between. I disagree because that would require you to overeat. Early dinners. There's a commonly held belief, whether you're doing intermittent fasting or not, that you should never eat dinner late at night. I have a ton of friends who have late eating windows and even eat carbs right before bed, and they're still very thin. Closing thoughts. I have a friend named Allison who has to be extremely strict when she's dieting because if she ever slips, the whole thing goes down the drain. Are you that kind of person? Do you feel like if you indulge yourself even a little, you're going to lose control? Well, consider what I said before about diets not being sustainable. Think about it. Even when you were on your strictest diet, did you stick to it in the end? So what was the point of denying yourself the foods you like if the diet wasn't sustainable anyway? When I was getting married, I wanted to lose a bunch of weight to be really skinny for my wedding dress. So for 30 days, all I had was a protein shake for breakfast and chicken and broccoli for lunch and dinner. I lost 15 pounds in those 30 days and dropped from a dress size 8 to a 4. However, on my honeymoon, I gained 7 pounds in 7 days. See my point? Intermittent fasting with Chantal Rayway is different. It's meant to be something that lasts. As you continue reading, you'll learn that there are no restrictions on eating the things you want. That's something you don't have to be afraid of. You're going to learn how to eat intuitively. You're going to learn how to listen to your body, eat only when you're hungry, and stop when you're full. This plan isn't going to restrict you. It's going to give you back control over your food like you've never had before. You're not going to have to plan all your meals and worry about whether the party you're going to has food that fits in your diet.